Soul Mirrors, you have arrived. Wake up and travel beyond the illusion. What is the mirror of your life reflecting around you now, and what does it mean? Master Lady Kira Ra leads you on a journey of enlightened perspectives as she weaves together the elements waiting to be revealed and often not seen. A fascinating and dynamic hour that will leave your heart smiling and your soul singing. And of course, Kira Ra's famous mini soul readings. Be sure to call in. And now, here is Master Lady Kira Ra.
Namaste, beloved ones, and welcome to Soul Mirrors. What is your life reflecting right now? And for those of you that are tuning in on video, watching us this evening or catching us on the podcast, hey, hoping you're digging my dear friend Einstein. He's going to be with us a lot this evening. We are diving into the power of congruent consciousness. And this is a moment of up-level energy that is profound, that is unique, that has not been on the planet before, and that is calling forward a moment of incredible continuity of consciousness through the expansion of our own divine essence. So let's really breathe that one in right now. I hope that's got your attention. I do want to say hello to all of you out there that are tuning in with us live. Thank you for being with us right over at YouTube, both at Official Sri and Kira and over at Oneness Talk Radio. Hey there, we love you. Also over at OnenessTalkRadio.com, of course, BBSRadio.com, a whole bunch of Facebooks that are happening everywhere and a lot of other beautiful affiliates and that are picking us up this evening. Thank you. Of course, remember, you are always able to grab us every week in our rebroadcast over at iHeartRadio, where you can just look up the show, Soul Mirrors, there we are. And of course, at AM, FM 247 and all of their affiliates. Now, guys, remember, tonight I have Christopher Fultz right here with us right now. I was just talking to him. And it's going to be a fascinating and dynamic moment. I have so much to reveal, and I'm so excited about this very special guest that we have on. So get into the queue. I already see it filling up. But I haven't even given the number. Give us a buzz, 517-208-1500, 517-208-1500. And of course, our 800 number over at BBS Radio, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Get in the queue. I know you want to say hello, and we're eager to say hello to you. So, beloved ones, let's bring our hands to our heart. Let's just really breathe into this moment. And as you're breathing into this moment, and as your heart is calling you into this moment, how has your week been? What have you been noticing? You know, here we are, we're recording live on January 12th. We are in the shadow of the peak up level moment, not only for January, but one of four peak up level moments, say that four times fast, peak up level moments for the entire year. And so as we are here, as we are right now gathering in this illuminated new moon energy, this is the moment where, if you've been following our show, if you've been with Sri and I every Sunday, if you've been watching us at Soul Mirrors, or if you were with us last night at Monday Magic, we're talking about concentric dimensionality and spiral time. And that this energy has been around us. It started coming in. I know what it can sound like to the mind of density. And that's the brilliance of bringing Einstein into this conversation, is it not? Because we are at a moment where it is the power of our congruent consciousness that can free us from the slavery or the tyranny of that which is trying to stop us from the expansion. We are at our very essence, that which expands. Light. It's all it can do. It's all light does. It just keeps going. And at our essence, we are that. And I want to begin this evening. I've got a couple of things I want to share with you all tonight. But one of the things I want to share with you before we go any further, because you're seeing my beloved Einstein behind me. So I threw my absolute two favorite quotes on there. So what I am sitting in front of is known as the Einstein-Rosen Bridge. Many of you call it a wormhole. And I created this graphic. As you know, I do all the graphics. And these, what I did was put together, I layered two of these Einstein-Rosen bridges showing and modeling what's happening right now. That everything that we have known was coming, this concentric dimensionality, this living in spiral time, is absolutely happening in every dimensional existence simultaneously. And we are at this amazing moment where if we give ourselves the gift of raising our consciousness, of going beyond paying attention to what density wants us just to see, we can ignite the law of instantaneous manifestation. Now, breathe that in if you're new to the show, because you might be going, what is this woman talking about? I hear you. Believe me, I hear you. We are at a moment, let's look right down at the bottom here. These are two of my absolute favorite quotes from Einstein. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Don't you just love him? I do. Everything is energy, that's all there is to it, period, end of story, done, right? Match the frequency. This is the key, this is the secret. This is your opening up the lock right now, right? Match the frequency of the reality you want, which means you must be clear. You will never create if you are in doubt or fear. So match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. There it is, the law of instantaneous manifestation. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, this is physics. And it's also foundational, because I'm going to talk to you a moment about the basics. But let me share with you my second absolute favorite. And I really love these two together as one, in all honesty, if I'm to be totally nakedly authentic about it. Now, concerning matter, and I love this, we have been all wrong. My heart bows before the genius that can expand, right? One of my favorite quotes from Gandhi is that if ever you read anything that finds me in argument with myself, please defer to my later years. And I love that quote from Gandhi because it is the acknowledgement of our growth, is it not? So what we have called matter is energy, right? Whose vibration has been so lowered. You can almost feel that lowering of vibration, right? That really depth of resonant tone whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to these senses right here. There it is, right at the bottom of the page. You see it? There is no matter. This is the most malleable, amazing illusion ever. And we get to have as many lives as we want through our conscious moments, the more that we expand through the ego that seeks to limit us from doing that. Remember that our ego is self-preserving. Our ego is always terrified, because the more that you say yes to your conscious expansion, the more your ego is going to be challenged. Until you get to that moment where you break free. And you guys know me, it's the eternal smile, because it's all fun, right? You break free to the other side and you're able to really hold the power of your congruent consciousness. You don't just say it, you live it. You live it at the risk of pissing people off. You live it at the risk of having others think what they want to think. Maybe that's your job. Maybe you're in front of them to help them look at what they're thinking, to help them break beyond their own barriers. Maybe you come in the package of a reverse aging 60-year-old woman who you're going, whoa, what the heck is happening here? Maybe we are all here right now in our congruent consciousness, adding the one thing to Einstein's model that he was unable to verbalize in his day, the level of consciousness that's meeting the science. See, physics, all of it is a way, it's a construct for us to be navigating density. It helps us cope. And this is why I challenge you to find a master out there that has not walked through an addiction issue in one way or another. Because we come in with so much illumination and we squeeze in to this. As Einstein said, right? We keep lowering and lowering and lowering. What is that? We collapse ourselves down. And then we try to fit in to that which makes our ego feel safe and loved and appreciated and community, human, with family. Let's do it that way, right? With family. And then one day, we realize there's more. Something calls to us and it says, wait a minute, I know there's more than this. And for many of us, when that first happens, unless we have the mentors around us, I know I did not, but for many of us, we don't know what to do with this awakening energy. Some of us get medicated. Some of us get told we're crazy. Some of us get told that all these things, you know, it's not possible. You're a savant, you know, whatever it is you're told about yourself. And so all these things start showing up. And for many of us, we discover ancient medicine through the lens of density. We don't understand because our filter has been distorted. And so we start working with these medicines through a distorted lens, and a lens that keeps telling us to not only not receive the true blessing of that which is before us, but to have just the opposite effect happen. And this is why the moment of congruent consciousness, the moment before us right now, is so important. 2021 is the year. And for those of you that have been working with Sri and I over the past 20 years, you know, we've been in this ascension escalator now from 2015 through 2022. And we had that first cycle from 2000 to 2012. We're right there. And let me pop up again. I'm going to share for you right now. We just put this out in our calendar. I know a lot of you already have the calendar. If you don't have the calendar, why not? Go to sriandkira.com, get the calendar. So this is in your calendar this year, and I just put this out. And this was a crazy graphic for me to create. This one was really hard, I have to share. So we are currently living inside of the absolute Einstein-Rosen bridge experience. We're living it. That is what concentric dimensionality is. This year, 2021, is not only a year of mastery choice, it is the year that is literally the rising phoenix. How many of you already know you are birthing from the ash of something right now? In whatever way you are, in your own way, you are birthing and you've known it. And the world is reflecting it. Remember, we are all responsible for what we see around us. We are every one of us participating. The question is the level of consciousness that meets it. And this is the blessing of this year. We are now in an energy flow as spiral time ignition. And you see those three green circles there coming out of the back, okay? This year is about the harmonic flow of those three gates and these 12 concentric cycles. And what they are doing is literally opening. And I'm gonna zoom away. There I am, right? Go look at the rest. That's what we're doing. If we allow our density mind to relax into it. So I want you to just breathe that one in right now, right? And remember that naked authenticity is the key to this moment. It's that, I mean, really breathe it in. It's that really sublime presence of the mastery knowing of self. You are at a moment, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have found this experience to even be a part of, right? You're here because you are very aware that consciousness has an infinite capacity to expand. And you are very aware that the entire experience we are all experiencing together right now is shifting, has shifted, and is never going to be the same. We are all in the middle of this incredible up level, and that's in the calendar too. I've talked about that the past couple nights, so go get the calendar. Tomorrow, the 13th, we've put this out. We've been telling you it's been coming, is a powerful day of up level energy. It's a big day of that wonderful cycle birthing in front of you again, of realizing that when we apply the laws of density through the lens of our ascended consciousness with absolute crystalline clarity, miracles happen. They're your birthright. The law of instantaneous manifestation is yours. You know, I want to share with you one other thing I was, those of you that were with Sri and I Saturday night for Saturday Night Alive, thank you. Thank you for joining us. We had so much fun. Oh my gosh, it was just really fun. And one of the gifts that happened that night was that, you know, Sri and I are pretty much here in our bubble. We're blessed. You know, we've been on, the way I described it when we opened up the show is we've been on like this 10-year walkabout, and how blessed we are that we have been supported to do that. And we are at the moment right now where when I was with that show and the full experience of everything that was involved in becoming a part of that and things that are happening right now that I'm having to be a part of, it's reminding me, you know, everything has its purpose, right? It's reminding me of the basics and the beauty of the basics. You know, there was a very beautiful speaker on the show and who I really bow before because they are a master of the basics. And those basics are, you know, see the good instead of the bad. Absolutely. That's a spiritual basic, right? To you have choice, right? You always have choice. Accept the sense of a higher self, right? The knowing of that there is a greater power, that you are not powerless. Embracing forgiveness. These are all powerful and wonderful ways right now that help us move through this gateway of expansion. Because what I'm inviting all of you to remember is that your very life right now is opening a gateway for someone else. And that brings me to tonight's outrageous co-host, who I just adore. I very recently had the blessing of meeting this being after, true story, I was on with someone else who just happened to mention their name. And I was like, time out. I think I know them. Tell me about them. Literally. It was that kind of like, you know, you guys know I've met other people that way. And so it was one of those moments. And I really kept pestering this other person about getting me in contact with Chris. I'm like, I have got to meet this person. And you ever meet those people that suddenly validate your own existence at a moment when the universe didn't know that you were also saying, if you want me to continue, then show me, then send me help, then show me a reason to continue. And Chris is that for me. And I just really want to share that with all of you, because this being has been on a journey that is profound, that matters. His brilliance and his ability as a polymath to do what he does, and to have continually done it through all of his own challenges, is an inspiration that I am honored to bring into the show. And so I really want you to meet someone who I just am so excited to bring forward, and that is Chris Foltz. So Chris, come on in. Let's have everyone enjoy you as much as I am. So let's get you in the show. How are you?
You know, I couldn't be more excited. As you're talking about the laws of density, people have referred to me as dense. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to unpack that at all, but I'm hoping so. I'm so happy to be here with you. You know, it's so inspiring just listening to the intro. I've watched your show a few times. I couldn't be more excited to be here. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, you know, Chris, no, really, seriously, thank you. So I'm going to just jump in because, guys, here's what you need to know. Chris is a former Republican deep in the party who, Chris, tell it, just go, because this is where I actually think I know Chris from, because you guys, you know, little known secret, I haven't told this much, me too. And I think this is where we know each other. So go, jump in, Chris, tell us.
You know, I don't think there could be a more opposite room of what we're in right now to the Republican
right?
Party, right?
Right.
You know, so I started, like a lot of people in politics, you know, they wait till they're old enough to know what it means. I started when I was really young. My uncle was a lobbyist. You know, I got involved in Republican Party politics about the age of 12 officially. By the time I was 16, I was working for a U.S. congressman. And then from there, 18, Elizabeth Dole, when she ran for president, amazing lady. She ultimately became a U.S. senator. Her husband's Bob Dole. Great. Then George W. Bush. Now, when you're about 19, just learned more or less the process of government, and you're working on the campaign of somebody like George W. Bush, and I don't need to remind the world how interesting that campaign was, you know, you get a jaded perception of reality, right? You get a different feeling of how people work, how humanity works. And, you know, long story short, we did some great things. We won that election, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, in politics, you do a pretty good job. You move around. So then the next couple campaigns are all the ones where it kind of led to a spiral of me reconsidering life in general. And it wasn't so much the candidates, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Haley Barbour down in Mississippi. It was more of what the outcomes meant to America and the precedent that was set. So long story short, you know, I ended up a drug addict, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. And I could tell you of all the things in my life, I've had more trouble rationalizing my time in Republican Party politics than I have as even a drug addict starting over with nothing and homeless. So it's interesting you came from that background. I'm sure there's a lot of things that we can talk about in that realm.
So talk to us. Talk to us about, okay, so here you have this brilliant political strategist who's helping all these amazing people become elected at a very young age, right? What does that do to the inside of the man? Like I get the jaded. I really understand that you are living in a bubble that absolutely cannot see beyond itself. But somewhere within you, that had to be the crucible. What was the crucible? What was driving you?
You know, I think it was one of those things where, you know, a lot of people get involved with partisan politics because of ideology.
Right.
I've never really been somebody of an ideological standpoint or persuasion. You know, I got involved with it because my uncle was a lobbyist and he was a leader in the party. And it was one of those things that, you know, I didn't have many mentors growing up. I was always involved in weird things, you know, science and all these things outside of school. And so I followed in these footsteps. Now, the funny thing is I moved up in party politics, which is a very hard thing to do in the Republican Party, which means, you know, you kind of carry the party flag and everything. I've never been really a conservative. You know, I wasn't somebody who could recite the party's principles or platforms. But what I did understand was people. But I didn't realize that the ideology of people doesn't necessarily define them as human beings. And there's an entirely different set of ideologies and human beings on the other side of the aisle. And if you were going to get anywhere in life, you needed to best understand how to cross that aisle. And you can't do that from inside of partisan politics. And ultimately that leads you to questioning yourself, right? So just as much as I'm able to carry the party flag, be this leader and the national board of the College Republicans, even, I was not a Republican. I wasn't a Democrat. I was really nothing. I was in my exploratory observation phase. But when you get that deep into it, now you have to be that. And that's not starting off in the right perspective, no matter what.
So I have to ask, how did you develop your conscience? Because what you're really describing right now is you had a conscience. I mean, that was my own experience. I was deep. I think I told you I was deep in Texan insurance, Republican, deep, deep, deep. And very similar to you, I was directly asked more than once my affiliation. And I was more than once, you know, confronted on that, often introduced as the skirt, because I was the only woman in the entire organization. One time I'll never forget, you know, we got us a skirt. That was how I was introduced. So, you know, I've been there and I had a conscience. And I know for me, I always felt like I had to really hide. I felt always as successful, and I was extremely successful at the very, very top, and as a woman in that organization, I mean, it was unheard of, but it was always, I always felt like I was a lie. And I had a conscience, and that's what actually did it for me, was my conscience is what forced me. And so I'm just curious how that was squeezing in you.
You know, a lot of people don't ask that. You know, they think of something like, you know, you went through drug addiction, you went to jail. It must have been that started your life over. Now, that played a huge role, but something led to that. Mm-hmm. And it was a political campaign I was doing in the central part of Illinois. And I was working for a wonderful CNN anchorwoman. She won an Emmy Award and she was running for U.S. Congress. Fantastic person. The campaign manager was, you know, old guard Republican strategist. And, you know, it was like, you must win no matter what. Now, we're running against a sitting United States congressman, a Democrat who had Parkinson's disease, Lane Evans, fantastic veteran, great leader out of Illinois, did a lot for unions and people across the country. And, you know, as Parkinson's develops, you know, you become less able to show up for every vote. Now, he did everything possible. He still managed to be a great leader in Congress, even with this. Now, the campaign decided that we wanted to go after this, you know, missing votes in Congress. And I was the deputy communication director and press secretary at the time. So it's on me. And we have the national news, because this is a big campaign in America, following us around for a week. and more or less the culmination of the week is where I was going to lay down a fairly aggressive opposition to why we cannot have people that are facing disabilities sitting in Congress. And you know, I've never in my life went off to the corner and just cried about something. Mm-hmm. It's not really necessarily, I mean, I almost tear up right now thinking about it. And ultimately I went to that national reporter who I know this day, oh man, and he basically changed my life because I said, listen, there's no way I can do this. I don't necessarily believe in this, but you know, here I am, you know, I'm supposed to be interviewed for this. And he said, Chris, you know, we'll find something to fill the segment. You know, it's one of those things that the audience will know more or less. He said, the audience will know if you do not believe what you're saying. And that right there gave me the ability to reflect upon politics. And what I realized is it wasn't necessarily partisan politics that was the problem. It was how people react to partisan politics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's somebody reacted to a loss they had in a campaign years prior and thought that this would be the best way to insulate themselves from that pain. Now that would come at the hands of pain for the American people and for this particular congressperson, and God only knows what. And I'm so thankful. Now that destroyed my life in Republican Party politics one way or the other. And ultimately I knew that. So it made drug addiction seem to be not much of a burden anymore politically. But I hid this choice behind drug addiction. And I really don't talk about it much. I'm so thankful you asked, but that's the reality of it.
I really appreciate your naked authenticity because that, see, this is what it's about. This is when we can really be of service to remember, you know, this is what we're talking about today, the congruent consciousness. Congruent consciousness doesn't just appear. And this is why I appreciate the conversation, because how many of you right now, your whole life, you've just had this consciousness inside of you that's, there's just, you don't need a rule to tell you if something's the right thing to do. You just know it. Right? You don't need somebody to tell you this is how you should act or this is how you should be, because it is who you are. And so that propels you, only it's often covered, right? And it's smothered in all these other things. And so what was your drug of choice? What brought you into the fun zone?
You know, ironically, there's a BBC show on this right now. So I'm pretty confident if you just Google search Chris Foltz heroin or something like that, okay, you'll find this.
Okay,
but,
cool.
You know, I had this for your audience. I had come home from politics. My mother had cancer. I moved into her basement, you know, and it's one of those things. My parents are both police officers. So imagine I grew up with parents that are police officers and I come home and I have all the best intentions. I have my wisdom teeth pulled out. Now, no fault of the dentist, no fault of anyone but myself, but you get that prescription. And right. I did basically the 2-month prescription of Vicodin in a matter of a few days. And wow. With that, you know, you have a drug which seriously does have side effects and true addiction with opiates and Vicodin. And it was easier for me at that point to get OxyContin on the street than it was to get a new Vicodin prescription. So when OxyContin runs out, then heroin is the alternative. And from the matter of pretty much the first time I did heroin snorting it to the time I was a full-blown addict, you're talking less than a year for complete life transformation to the point wow. of, you know, I deserve to pretty much lose everything the way that I did.
Wow.
It's crazy, huh?
So walk us through, give us the... We're at that point. We see the progression, but your consciousness is still there. You know, that's the gift of our consciousness, isn't it? We are so infinitely loved that saying, hey, congratulations, Chris, you're ready to know who you are. You know, we all get to that moment. So what happened for you?
You know, so here I am. What I actually got arrested for was what would be considered more or less a petty theft. The day after my mother passed away, God bless her soul, just a couple of days ago, 13 years ago, but January the 10th, when she passed away, you know, you do the planning session at the funeral home. So I went there in a stupor. At this point, I was able in a couple of days to get a prescription of benzodiazepines because it's supposed to help calm you during anxiety. And I was able to talk my way into it. So that same voice that helped me elect Republican candidates talked me right in to getting benzodiazepine prescription while I'm doing heroin. And trust me, when you fill out the form and tell them what other prescriptions you're on, you're not mentioning street heroin. So here I am. I'm at the funeral planning session and I'm more or less blacked out. And upon leaving, I grabbed a coin purse off the ground. I'm still a little unclear how it went down, but regardless, in there, I do remember there was some money, credit card, driver's license, and I noticed it was a funeral home employee. So my philosophy was, you know, when I go there next, I'm just going to throw it back behind the counter, maybe take the cash, you know, go do drugs, this simple thing. Well, lo and behold, she had called in an insurance claim. She said her engagement ring was in there. I personally don't remember. And justifiably, if it was, she deserved to do this, which of course requires requires a police report. So here I am, the funeral happens. You know, all of my mom's police colleagues from all over the country came in and all this great thing. Lo and behold, the next day I'm going to be arrested by them. Now, a judge, his name is Ron White out of Winnebago County. I'm wearing a Rockford Peaches hat from League of Their Own. That's my hometown. Shout out to Rockford. A judge there, Ron White, in drug court saved my life. He was a friend of my mom, one of my first campaigns with him. He put $250,000 warrant out. Now, it would have been a $300 you're out of jail thing for me because he knew I would bail out and he knew I would die. So here I am, I'm arrested. When you have that large of a bail, it doesn't matter. They send in the brigade, right? So there were six police cars out front and here I am. Now, when I get to jail, that also means you're in maximum security. $250,000 bond, you must have done something. So I'm in maximum security, which in a county jail is oftentimes they segregate you by your race. So I'm in the all white tier. Now, maximum security, all white tier in most institutions would fall suit with a kind of racist type nomenclature. You have the supremacist in there, all of this. Now, there's one population that was in the largest density there, and those were the people that had been arrested by my parents one time or another through my life. So I'm walking into the lion's den. So that resulted in basically a couple fist fights right away. But what a lot of people don't realize is during the time I'm facing addiction, I am running a sheriff's campaign in the same county for a sheriff's deputy who works in the jail, right? So he now sees his campaign manager on the cover of the news, right? The front page of the newspaper and in maximum security. So thank you, James Kidd from Echesney Park, Illinois County Board there, whatever, for pulling me out of maximum security and bringing me over to the general population. You probably saved my life in that situation. And it's so interesting because look at the irony that's in there. And I think a lot of your listeners, a lot of us in society, we face these similar things. And depending on how we relate, I mean, we all spend so much time like celebrating victories. Uh-huh. When I've learned through the years that life is all about how we react to failures. Mm-hmm. And here, imagine when I look at it now, I put this person who's running for sheriff into the situation where his campaign manager is in jail. And it's mind bending. But here I spend the next 4 months in jail. Now, let me tell you, you meet a lot of interesting people. And the biggest consciousness gain I've ever had in my life came from inside the institution. Now, it wasn't reflecting necessarily on what I did wrong. It was having conversations with people that I never would have crossed paths with in normal life. And probably one of the most impactful things that ever happened in jail. And, you know, I had this one roommate. I'll call him roommate, but I guess it would be a celly. And his child had autism. Now, how I found this out is every single evening he would be on the payphone for hours, right? To the point he would upset people in the tier. And it was almost like he was having conversations with a very young child. And one day I asked him, what are you doing? He's like, you know, I'm going to prison for 20 years. He had several DUIs. He was going down and his child had autism. And he explained to me that, you know, he was the only person that was able to get through to his son at the time, a very young child. And he was very concerned because he's going to prison and the system doesn't account for this. So I basically did everything I can to spend a good 2 months asking questions about autism, everything, not necessarily the science of it. I tried to absorb that as much as I could, but what the day-to-day life was. And I set a goal to myself. I want to impact this. And it's so ironic. Now I sit and work in the cannabis industry with Sensi and all these great brands. And before I got here, that was the thing I actually did is I made a pretty big impact in the autism world. And it was because of my cellie in jail. And nobody really knows that's the reality of it. So that's consciousness manifested.
Absolutely. And how beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. My heart is just like, wow. Well, you know, before we continue more on your journey, you want to say hi to a few people? We have got people that are just holding on going, hey, get to the phones. So let's go to the phones and say hello. Let's see. We have Monica with a hand up. All right. So, hey, Monica with a hand up. Welcome to the show. Namaste.
Namaste, beautiful Master Lady Kira Ra.
Hi,
and your
sweetheart.
Guest Chris. Hello to both of
you. Hi there.
Hey, sweetheart.
Well, by the way, I was just speaking with Zadok Rao Cyrus and he sends his love, Kira.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing. I send it right back to him. You know that. Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Yes, and for my very own heart, I would love a mini soul reading from you for 2021. Please. Thank you.
Well, you know, sweetheart, the first thing I want you to do is just celebrate that you're our first caller on this amazing show this evening. We've got some very full call boards and you're getting through. And what's interesting is that the reason you were selected is your hand was up. And it's funny because that's exactly what I'm hearing. It's like they're saying your hand has been up for a long time. Now extend it out into action, right? Instead of reaching up and saying, I need to ask the question, reach out your hand because you're ready to receive the hand of someone else who's got their hand up. It's your time to start giving that which you have received. You've arrived, honey. It's your moment. I'm gonna zoom out of the way again, right? You're right here. We're in the middle of this incredible ignition. We're all in the wormhole together. We've taken this incredible moment and brought our consciousness to it. So what I need to know, honey, put your hands on your heart. I'm putting my hands on mine too. Yeah. What I need you to know is that you know this. Because it really doesn't matter what I see or what I'm sharing. What matters is you know this is true. So I want you to breathe that in. It's time to take the hand that's asking and allow it to be the hand that's giving, the hand that's ready to help the one that is asking. They're saying, just turn around, you know, just woo, turn around. Can you feel that?
Well, I'm staring in the divine galactic blueprint.
There it is. There it is. So I want you to take in a deep breath. I want you to just breathe in. Up through the nose, right? Let's let it out. Yeah, with a smile. And Chris, do you want to jump in? Anything you want to share with Monica?
You know, I just love the advice. I think it's fantastic. And I can hear it in your voice, right? I can hear that you're ready for something. I mean, it's so evident. And I'm an outside person. So I'm excited for your 2021, Monica. Let me tell you.
Thank you.
Oh, we love you, Monica. Thank you, sweetheart. Many blessings. All my love.
Love you so much.
Mm, we love you too, honey.
Big hugs.
Are you too? Big hugs to us too. All right, my love. Chris, I feel your heart. I'm just sitting here and I feel your
big, yummy heart. I mean, I told you when you were telling me, hey, listen, Chris, I'm going to prep you about the show. I'm like, I need no preparation. I've listened to your callers. It's not a matter of cockiness. It's a matter of the authenticity, right? Who needs to be prepared to be authentic? I think it's just it's supposed to be always, right?
Right. And this is why I love that this congruent consciousness, that's it. I mean, you know, Chris just gave the definition, right? It's that moment of authenticity that demands no preparation. You know, 100% of all of the shows Sri and I do, everybody knows that 100% of everything we do is always unscripted. Because if you need a script, you know where you're going. But if you need a script, then you're interfering with divine inspiration. And that's the moment, right? That's our moment of freedom, when we can really let go of all doubt, all need to manipulate and let the universe guide and really trust that. Well, and I know, Chris, you've had that happen to you. So you've got to finish quick. I want to hear before we go to another caller. And I've got all these people over here going, pick me. What I want to know is, how did we go from the release of prison to who you are today?
Well, you know, it was very interesting. I came out, I realized I have a scarlet letter now. I'm never going to be able to do Republican Party politics. I tried volunteering. It was a no-go. Democrats, they're like, hey, listen, this is the next Bill Clinton, maybe. Let's bring him on in, is what I thought it would be. It didn't end up being that either. So I started waiting tables. And, you know, when you wait tables, you meet a lot of people. But I also noticed a lot of people that faced the same thing. They had the same scarlet letter and they thought their life was over. Now, I somewhat thought mine was as well. But because I knew the others weren't, I decided I'm going to start a marketing and PR firm and maybe I can help them fix that scarlet letter and I'll find my divine inspiration through them. I've never been easy to motivate in my life, right? I'm fairly self-motivated, but it takes inspiration. People ask me what motivates me. Well, inspire me and then I will be motivated. One of them pushes you, right? So if you're waiting for somebody to push you and motivate you, if they disappear, there's nothing there. So I'm constantly looking for things that pull me, like inspiration does. And with that, it becomes the gravity. It becomes that spiral behind you. It becomes that torus and becomes that energy. And that's what got me to where I'm at. So I started this PR firm with a girlfriend I had at the time, Corinne Meyer. She lives in France now. Very interesting person. Now, when you start a business with a significant other, realize that if things don't work out, that's another conversation you need to have. And it's not always easy, right? Extremely talented individual. I've always been a pain in the butt. Everybody that works with me tells you that's not going to be a pretty situation. So I kept one client and she got the rest of them deservedly. But I took that one client and found, you know, we spend so much time focusing on what makes our brands different, right? This is why I'm so much different than you. When really, if we focus on what makes us all the same, you'll find a lot more answers in there, right? So I focused on what made other clients the same with mine and myself and how I was going to use that. So that led to ultimately starting a small firm a year later, having our first downtown Chicago office. A year after that, a full floor of an office building, the fastest growing communication strategy firm in the country. And then my friend from back home, who I got involved in drug addiction with, I found out he died of heroin overdose. And wow. I tried to stop this, and you know it's impossible to stop it. If anything, you could try to energetically intervene, but that's about it. Yeah. And I took this in a very interesting way. I'm at the top of my game. I have this office, I have all these employees, all these clients, 400 or so around the world. I'm on speaking tour, and I walked out and told everyone that we're moving our downtown River North Chicago office to what would be quote unquote called the hood. No disrespect to it. Not my phraseology. It is what it was. It was the most dangerous neighborhood in America at the time, North Lawndale in Chicago, to the same block I bought heroin on. Because I knew that if I couldn't stop my friend Josh from dying of heroin, maybe if I did our services for free for every startup, everybody that was on the street that could have done heroin, anyone we could intercept, that maybe Josh wouldn't have died in another timeline. So that's what I did. And 3 years of that, we changed so much of the fabric of anybody that we contacted and did anything with. It's unbelievable. And trust me, I told you, I shared this with you at one point. We lived in Chicago and we even had no gas. Now in Chicago, we had no heat. Let me put it like this. We had no heat for over a year and a half because we had no utilities because we couldn't afford anything but our internet connection in order to maintain our business. And people don't know this. It was crazy. And I mean, one time, you know, drug addiction led me to homelessness. I never thought doing business would also lead to the same.
Oh yeah.
but you know, in the end, it was overwhelmingly worthless. It led me on this interesting path I am today. And I'm so thankful for all of it. And reflecting upon it now is just so interesting because I would never be who I am if it wasn't for those perils.
There it is. And I want to underscore that. I also want to go back to something that just slipped out of your mouth when you talked about he wouldn't have died in this timeline. And I want to jump into that because that is exactly what you did do, whether you were conscious of it or not. We are all time surfing. We are all time travelers. Why do you think there's such a fascination around time? Because we're trying to see it linearly. And when we can let go of the linear as our guiding light and sincerely expand out into our multidimensional presence, you and I have had this conversation privately where I always see five screens, always. And everyone's capable of doing that. That's not unique. It's just that inside of this experience of co-creation, this was a lifetime for me to be able to go beyond that. And each of us that has traveled this road, that have had these incredible acts of consciousness. Consciousness keeps you on that need to know basis, because if you knew what you were saying yes to, would you have said yes? I know I would have said no. I would have said no right off the bat. You know, if somebody would have told me everything that I'd have gone through, and on the other side of it though, just like you said, right? You wouldn't be who you are without it. You get on the other side is when the smile comes in. And so that's the gift is we just, we're congruent. We have our congruent consciousness. So you want to congruently say hi to somebody?
I'd love to.
Let's do it. All right. I'm going over here. Hey, hey, hey. I am going to, it looks like Illinois. Hey, Illinois. Namaste.
Namaste, Kira. Chris, how are you doing?
We're doing great,
sweetheart.
My home state. Love Illinois.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely connecting with Chris here, man. Let me... One second.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No worries, sweetheart.
Definitely connecting with him. My drug addictions, you know, going through all those drug addictions, they say that the overcomer sits on a throne of God, with God. But I say the overcomer walks in the light of his soul, which is the same thing. We do it while we're alive. Chris is doing it. Keep going, brother. Beautiful to see. I've had two drug overdoses on heroin. And the first one then smacked me back to life. with them healing hands. But it's it was a rough road, but it brings us to this point. You know what I mean?
Those two drug overdoses that you said, I'm so sorry you had to go through that, but no matter which way we look at it, it brought you to this conversation tonight. And my horrible perils did the same thing. So for that, I'm thankful.
That's right. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love you so much. I love this family. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I love you too. You know that. Feel my arms around you, just loving you so much.
I do. Always do.
I know.
I'm with you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
All the time. Aww. Hey, I had a revelation I wrote down. You want to hear it real quick?
Of course, Angel. Share it with us. Yes.
Okay. It's called Loved by Angels.
Aww.
It says, brought by angels, born to an angel that doesn't know she's an angel, but an angel nonetheless. Born to a mother goddess who knows who she is. A physical manifestation of our mother goddess. All of us. Guided and loved by angels every step of the way. Ones that know who they are. Ones that don't. But loved by angels every day. Every step of the way. Love, Gary.
Oh, Gary. I love you so much. I think we're all crying. Is there anybody who's not crying right
just
now?
Just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Oh, my God, Gary,
that's
you're the best.
Reality, man. That's our reality.
It is our reality, and you know it. You know it, and I love that you know it.
I'm going to keep knowing it. Keep walking it. Woo-hoo. Keep walking. I love you guys. Love this family.
Oh, we love you too, Angel.
I'll talk to you again.
You
thank
will.
You.
We love
take
you,
care.
Honey. Namaste. Yeah. Wow. How you trip. Doing, Chris?
I just love your callers. You know, I mean, hearing it from my home state, that's already exciting. But then also hearing in their voice makes me realize that there is no home state. We all live in the same larger home together. And that I just love. And, you know, for all the people that think that after drug addiction, there's nothing, I can tell you that both this conversation with Gary right there and also that what he wrote, both of those things were created after addiction, right? So there is always a tomorrow, as long as you don't forget that. I learned something very important from somebody that I work with professionally back in the day. And I asked them a kind of what I thought was an appropriate question. You know, isn't there a time where people are done recovering? Like, isn't there too many times for rehab, or isn't there enough NAAA? And she said to me, very simply put, Pam Rodriguez, she said, Chris, there's never a limit and there's never too many times to recover. And that is so prolific when you think about it, because it's not so much about times. It's just that time doesn't play a role in recovery. It's always every day on every different plane, no matter which way you look, on all five of your screens and beyond, you know?
Mm-hmm. You got it. I love that. You want to say hi to somebody else?
Love to.
Let's do it. All right. We're going to go over here, and it looks like we are going to, it looks like Bradenton, Florida. Hey, Bradenton, Florida. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much, Kira, for taking my call. And Chris, wow, what a powerful testimony, really. And I just want to acknowledge that I really hear you and really feel you. I really resonate a lot with what you're sharing.
I appreciate that so much.
If there's any message that would like to come through, I can let you know that I'm just starting to be seen in a much bigger way and starting to really offer my wisdom and my services to others. So any message that would come through, I just really would appreciate. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, sweetheart, first of all, I can feel Chris too. We're both just loving all over you. You are just so beautiful. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is hands to your throat, sweetheart. The whole time you were speaking, yeah, you are coming through in a bigger way. And there's right here, it's like right at the top of your throat. I'm feeling it's almost like this. It's old. It's really, really old, but it's like this old kind of energy that every time your truth comes forward, it's like, you know, looking out, like, where's the shoe going to drop kind of thing. And they're saying that bring your hand to your throat, relax your eyes. And I'm watching, it's like, I'm going to cry. You're being like, they're pouring all of this crystalline light all over you. There's like all this crystalline light. And if you feel it, it's like right here, right? It's ticklish. And they're pouring it all over you. And you have these tears of crystalline light coming out of your eyes. And they're saying that you are crying the tears for the generations that did not know, and you are clearing the way for the illumination that you are. Sweetheart, this is your year. It is your year in a way it has never been before. I kid you not, my entire right here, my whole top of my head is still like I'm just like electric pulses. And so they're saying, breathe up, breathe out, smile and say yes, you know, say yes to you. It's your time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I love you so much. Chris, did you want to share?
I feel the same way. You know, in that scene in Sister Act, who ultimately ends up being the best singer, and
yes,
she was very quiet. And then finally, Whoopi Goldberg came and just pushed it out. That's who you are. I felt it the entire way. I mean, it's quite interesting, but that's a movie worth watching because you are that person. She becomes the star.
Oh, I love that example, sweetheart. Thank you for being with us tonight. We love you so much, honey.
Thank you.
Oh, and to you, my love. Namaste. Well, wonderful. Chris, I'm just, aren't you filled?
I love it. I love it. You know, it's one thing listening to it from afar. It's another thing being part of it. So I can see why the callers call in from all over the world each week for everything, because you feel part of it no matter what. So I appreciate that.
Well, and you know, this brings us to Scentsy. And so let's talk about that, because one of the things that Sri and I are just starting to talk about is really the experience of consciousness as this cannabis consciousness connection. And one of the things that came forward through that was you and Scentsy Mag and Tuva and Ron and Lou and, you know, all the amazing beings over there. So talk to me. How did you wind up there? So get us right caught up. So how are you at Scentsy Mag?
You know, it's interesting. The cannabis industry is a very hard industry to penetrate. When I say penetrate, to get right in the middle. A lot of peripheral business, a lot of conversation, but being in the middle, whole different story. I approached it through business. I approached it through my own inventions, creations, formulas, one of which that was on the Today Show for helping kids with autism. So I'm so thankful the journey that was a byproduct of it. But it wasn't until probably my mentor in the company, when it comes down to energy and everything you discuss, her name is Abby Wright. And I was introduced to her by a colleague out of Michigan when I lived in Michigan, Jamie, who is also a person who follows in the same path of what you talk about on all of your days. They put this energetic connection together. You know, they said, listen, Chris, you're going to probably be good for something in the Scentsy arena. I started in pretty much the lowest position in the company. And when you get involved in a brand like Scentsy and you realize that there are brands that actually are the gateway to the center of the industry, there are people that have their finger on the pulse. And on top of it, they actually care about real things, right? Not just sales or not just magazines. No offense to it. It's our business. But our business isn't putting squares on paper. Our business is helping people solve problems. And that's literally what drew me into Scentsy. And that's why I'm here today. And I'm so honored to serve as Vice President of Global Reach. All that means is that I get to work with a dynamic team of people that make me look better than I actually am. Because, you know, my mom told me a long time ago that, you know, your goal in life is should always be to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. It's people like Abby. It's people like Jamie. It's people like Debbie Hall, Jade, who is these great female leaders. And you notice I mentioned all females there. We have a heavy propensity of men in our company too. But I learned from great leaders that are women. And it doesn't matter what gender they are. It's just a matter of the messaging. And what Scentsy's done so well is listen to the demographic, captured it, was able to put what you would describe as the energy and vibration out in the page form. And that's what has created such a large audience. You know, we've won so many awards in the industry for our editorial. And it's because we find and work with people like yourself, people that look at life from a different lens. And we translate those stories to paper. And all the awards we win is mainly because of the people that we capture the story of. And that is what I love about it, right? Every single day I'm excited, although it's a pandemic and I'm literally working in my miniature barn in the backyard mainly. I really appreciate the camaraderie that comes with a brand like Scentsy. And I'm so happy that I met you through that equation.
Yeah, well, so are we. And I do want to say that I can personally attest to everything Chris is saying, because I've had the honor of meeting a lot of the beautiful executive team over at Scentsy, and of course got in through Tuva. And it is exciting for me personally to interface with all of you in a way that I have not interfaced in a long time. And to really find that as our concentric dimensional conversation. You know, it really, I find it fascinating because how that reinsertion is coming in. It's been a long time since I've worn even close to that hat. So it's really a beautiful moment for us all. And it's a moment of emergence. And this is where I want to bring it back to this congruent consciousness as we close the show today. We have 1 minute left. And this is the moment we are at. We are at the moment where if we are congruent, if we are nakedly authentic, then everything Einstein said is happening. All we had to do was add consciousness to the equation. We're all coming together because this is a moment that is bigger than us all. And it is through the recognition that together we are better, that we are congruent in our consciousness. So Chris, you've got about 10 seconds to say goodbye. How can we wrap it up for you?
You know, I just want to thank you for even putting me in to this vibration. And I think that's what it is. I think we're never too old. It's never too wrong to realign yourself vibrationally. And sometimes, and oftentimes, you need to find something to help you from a pillar for your own energy. And I'm so thankful that you are that to millions of people across the world. And I'm even more thankful that you're that for me. So I appreciate you so much and bless you and all your audience. And I look forward to participating as much as I can in the future.
Well, Chris, I'm sure this is not going to be your first time on the show, right, guys? I can hear everybody going, yeah, I want Chris back. So I'm sure that we'll be spending more time together on the air. Chris, how can people find Sensi? How can they find it?
Very simple, sensimag.com, SENSIMAG.com. And we're going to be doing some amazing things with Sri and Kira, and it's going to be fantastic. And thank you very much to our team, Richard, Amanda, all the great leaders I work with, because they also agree with what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And to all of you, my beloved angels that I adore with all my heart, also know that my angel, Sri Ram Kaur, has been right on the other side producing this show tonight, loving all of you. We are all in concentric dimensionality. We are coming together because the universe is saying yes. We are saying yes. May you know that you are loved. You are never alone. You are not crazy. This is your moment. It is humanity's moment. It is a year to heal the heart of humanity because together we are better. I love you with all my heart. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. for more adventures. You can learn more about Master Lady Kira Ra at shriandkira.com. Or visit their YouTube channel, Official Sri and Kira. May your heart, in all ways, know the master you are.